Jonah chapter 4. This will be the final message in our series on the book of Jonah. And then we're going to pick up the prophet Haggai starting next week. And we'll have a couple lessons out of Haggai. So let me ask you. Have you ever gotten angry because someone challenged you about your anger? For example, someone said, well, what are you mad about? I'm not mad. Right? Have you ever been there? Meet Jonah, because Jonah is mad. In fact, look at the adjective used in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He is really, really mad. The question is, who's he mad at? Well, he's mad at God. That's who he's mad at. And here's the thing. Jonah, without even wanting it, preached a message in Nineveh, and a great revival broke out. The Ninevites repented, while most preachers would be jumping up and down for joy because their message was successful and the people repented, but not Jonah. Instead of being excited, he is mad. He's mad at God. So Jonah doesn't like what God is like. Look at verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing harm. And so he knew what God was like. He knew that God was a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God who loves people. But Jonah felt that God was wrong to save the Ninevites. And so what do you do when you don't like what God is like? You see, Jonah would like God a whole lot better if God were more like Jonah. But this is an old problem. Long ago, God created man in his image. And ever since then, we've been trying to create God in our image. So the angry prophet has a bad heart, which just goes to show you can have a bad heart and still do the right thing. And so God asked Jonah a very important question in verse 4. The Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? So God is exposing Jonah's heart. God confronts Jonah with his anger, but he does this in order to save Jonah. Because Jonah doesn't share God's heart. And God wants Jonah to have his heart. Jonah's problem was his ethnicity. He said in verse 9 of chapter 1, I am a Hebrew. When they asked, who are you and what country you're from? He said, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God. You see, his national identity superseded God's global concerns. He was an Israelite first and a follower of God second. What about you? Are you an American first and a follower of God second? Are there groups of people out there that you think that God just should not save? Are there people out there that you would like to see perish? Well, Jonah wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. He doesn't share God's amazing heart, and it's because he's a follower of God second rather than first. And anger, whenever you see it, it's always in opposition to grace. So, you know, I could throw out something that I think could gender a little anger. Are there people outside of what we call the Church of Christ who are saved? And if you say yes, then anger is going to come about. But listen, we met a group in Scotland who, they didn't call themselves Church of Christ. They meet on the first day of the week, take the Lord's Supper every week. The only difference that we could see between them and us is they didn't believe in a paid preacher. But they weren't identified as Church of Christ. But they did everything. They baptized for the remission of sins. They were every bit like us. They just didn't use the name Church of Christ. Would they not be God's children? Well, if you believe that this is it, there's nobody but this body, and someone tells you otherwise, anger erupts. I just want you to see what Jonah's dealing with here. All right, I want you to grasp this. I want you to get this, because anger always opposes grace. For some reason, when you speak of grace, people get mad. Why? Grace is an amazing thing, right? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, all of us have to wrestle with the Jonah inside of us. We like to see God's justice poured out on people. And we get upset if God shows favor to a person or a group of people or people we think needs justice. Jonah saw his sin in a different light than the Ninevites. Isn't that an amazing thing? How our sin is good, but someone else's sin isn't. But that's the way we see sin sometimes. We see the sin in others, but we don't see the sin in ourselves. And Jonah should remind you of the prodigal son, right? He should remind you of the Pharisees and the scribes of Luke chapter 15, because that's the heart we see here with Jonah. You see, Jonah and Nineveh both needed the same thing from the same one, and that was grace. So why is it that we don't always like what God is like? We are not like God if we do not love the hard to love. We are not like God if we don't love the hard to love. You see, loving those who love you, that's easy. Anybody can do that. Jesus said that. But what reward have you if you only love those who love you? But you see, loving your enemies is hard. And that's what God calls us to do. Jesus even said it in the Sermon on the Mount, did he not? Love your enemies. Not just your friends, not just the people who like you, but the hard to love. Because that's the way your Father is. And so instead of being swallowed by a fish, every single one of us need to be swallowed by the heart of this amazing God that we're reading about in the story of Jonah. We need to be swallowed by his heart. We need to share his heart. God wants us to have his heart. So God creates a plant for Jonah to give him a little shade from the sun and in the heat. In verse 6, it says, "And the Lord God prepared a plant. He made it come up over Jonah that it might shade him for his head to deliver him from his misery." And notice, so Jonah was very grateful for the plant. This is the first time this guy's happy in the whole story. He's pouting all the way through the book. This is the first time he's happy. And what's he happy over? A plant. A plant. When God is for a planet, this man is for a plant. He's happy about the plant. But look at verse 7. "In the morning dawned the next day, and God prepared a worm. So it damaged the plant, and the plant withered." And notice verse 8. "Now it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" So he's back to wanting to die. He was happy for a flash. He was happy for a moment. But man, it did not last very long at all. So God comes to Jonah. And he says, "Jonah, you're concerned about a plant. When you should have been concerned about Nineveh. When you should have been concerned about 120,000 people who did not know their right hand from their left hand. And so God is concerned for all of those who are ignorant and disobedient. And God tells us that these people did not know the difference between their right or their left hand. So God says to Jonah, in effect, Jonah, I don't divide the world up the way you do, enemies and friends. But rather, I divide the world up, lost children and found children. That's the way God divides the world up. Go to Luke chapter 15. You'll see that abundantly clear. And so, we need to look at the world that we live in through the eyes of God. God is a God who's concerned for all people. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, God is going to love the world with or without your consent. But God wants you to join him in his mission of saving the lost. That's what God wants, and that's the reason we have the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that does not believe will be condemned. And so, while Jonah loved a plant, God loved a planet. What a contrast between these two, right? He's excited over a plant. God's excited over a planet. We need to be excited about the planet as well. God wants us to join him in his effort in seeking and saving the lost. And so God is concerned that we're not concerned as he is about the lost. And that's a concern of God, because God wants us to share his concern. He doesn't want it to be just his concern. God's concern should be our concern. We should love people. We should preach the gospel to people. We're all sinners. We're all in need of grace. None of us are any better than anyone else, and I don't care what the sin is. All sin will separate you from God. But yeah, there are some sins that hold greater consequence in this world. You murder somebody or you lie, there's a big difference in consequence. You lie, someone will just, you know, won't trust you anymore. But you commit murder, you're going to go to prison maybe for the rest of your life. So there are consequences. But with God, sin is sin, and all sin separates you from God. And Revelation said, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. So it doesn't matter what your sin is, you need forgiveness. And so does everybody else in the world. And we have the message that will allow them to have their sins forgiven. So are we, like Jonah, more concerned about plants than people? What is it that makes you happy? Is it a new car? Is it that your team won? What is it that makes you happy? A better job? Is that what makes you happy? You know what makes God happy? A prodigal coming home. That's what makes God happy. That's what God gets excited about. That's what God rejoices over. Look in Luke chapter 15. You see the celebration. Three parables. A parable of lost sheep. When the sheep is found, there's a party. There's a celebration. A parable of lost coin. When the coin is found, there's a celebration. There's a party. And when the lost boy comes home, there is a party. The father said, "We must celebrate, for my son was dead and he's alive. He was lost and he's found." So if we're not concerned about God's work, then we simply do not understand grace. We do not understand grace. The only time that Jesus made a prayer request in the Bible is found in Matthew chapter 9. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. This is the only time Jesus made a prayer request. Now, he encouraged prayer, but here he makes a very specific request. Matthew 9. Let's begin at verse 35. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Notice for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Notice what he says. Therefore, pray to the Father of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The only time Jesus made a prayer request was for us to pray that God would send laborers into the harvest. That's the only time. I find that interesting. And so the man who experienced the greatest revival in the history of the world, will he experience revival himself? That's a question that we don't know. That's a question that's not answered in the book, and I think it was intended. Because notice in verses 10 and 11, but the Lord said, you've had pity on a plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right or left hand and much livestock? What's the answer to the question? We don't know. We simply don't know. But if I had to guess, I would guess that Jonah does not still share God's heart. Not even at the end of the book. But I think God wants us to bring this ending to a conclusion ourselves. He wants us to finish the story because we are Jonah. And so, how will you answer the question? Are you a person who believes in the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the goodness of God? Do you believe it's for everyone, or you believe it's just for just us? It's just for a selected group, and it's not for anyone else. I hope and pray that in the end, you will be swallowed by the heart of God. You will share God's heart. You'll share God's concern for all of those who are lost and don't know him, so that they could know him. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. Maybe you need to respond saying, I need to be swallowed up with God's heart. I don't share his concern for the lost. I don't know why. I just simply do not care for the lost the way God cares for the lost. And if that's your stance, then you need to come and you need to confess it. And you need to ask God to help change your heart, because he wants you to share his heart. Or maybe this morning you need to come and ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Because the good news of the gospel is, if you'll come to Christ, he will take away your sins. So whatever your need is this morning, whether it's to be swallowed up with the heart of God and share his heart, or to have your sins removed so that you can be added to the family of God, whatever your need is, come while we sing.